It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast. Yes, it has been another 24 hours since our last episode and another extremely busy week as we inform you on the very latest in property news as heard on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. Well, it's the 13th day of April, another Saturday morning, talking real estate, of course, across our weekend. And this weekend, you might be heading off to your building site where you're constructing a brand new home with a builder. Now, you don't need me to tell you about the escalating property expenses. Building materials, now, just looking at those numbers, they've surged in cost, with certain items witnessing inflation rates soaring up to 18% annually. Although prices have slightly moderated to 8%, they linger at historically elevated levels, rendering large-scale projects financially expensive, very expensive to complete. And the construction sector turmoil is continuing, with corporate bankruptcies on the rise, and it's happening nationwide, predominantly affecting construction firms. So the trend really does underscore an industry grappling with significant challenges and unprepared to manage a substantial surge in building activity. And on top of that, there is a scarcity of proficient tradespeople, which is compounding to the construction sector's problems. Australia, as we know, faces this severe housing shortage, posing a significant challenge to the government's ambitious pledge for this construction of 1 million new homes within 5 years. So on our Saturday morning, with all of that said, let's dive headfirst into the gravity of what lays ahead. And Anthony Landell from Equilibria Finance is back to analyse recent construction and housing approval data to shed some light on the extent of the crisis. So good morning to you, Anthony. Firstly, shall we start off with these recent Australian Bureau of Statistics and the data around that? What is it telling you, and what can you share with us this morning?
Yeah, good morning, Craig. Great to be here. And that's a great backdrop to what we're going to be talking about. And I think often the word crisis is used loosely, but I think in this case, we really are in a problem here with housing supply shortfalls in Australia, and that construction firms going out of business, and the shortfall is going to be reflected. So this data is pretty well hot off the press from the ABS. As of Feb 24, we had total dwelling approvals falling 1.9%. But what's interesting is we've got value of new residential approvals falling about 19% and non-residential about 16%. Approvals are at the lowest amount since June 2012. So the government's talking about building 1.2 million houses, in fact, over the next 5 years. Approvals are at the lowest count since 2012. In February, we had 8,404 homes approved. The 15-year average is 9,000. We had 3,771 units approved. The 15-year average is 6,600. So we're talking about building 1.2 million houses by 2029, or 240,000 each year. In 2023, we had 163,836 dwellings commence, the lowest number since 2012. Approvals are dropping. The situation's getting worse, not better.
Yeah. And, you know, there is so much talk and the desire to build our way out of this current crisis. We simply, as you know, we need more of these buildings, but to build them, one needs to get a consent. So what's causing this drop in approvals and construction credit?
Yeah, it's a number of things. There's zoning issues, there's construction issues, which you touched on, the costs. Builders are getting out. They might have had a fixed price building contracts, costs have blown out. The labour market's very tight, contract costs are going up, builders are struggling to make ends meet, developers are leaving the market, they're too expensive, there's too many taxes. But fundamentally, we've really got to start thinking about these migration rates. We got 600,000 migrants coming into this country each year, and we've been building 163,836 dwellings commenced in 2023. This situation's going to get worse before it gets better. It estimates we need to build about 300,000 per annum to get better before it gets worse, and we are well off that. There's zoning issues, there's construction issues in terms of building costs, builders getting out, and there's the developer pipeline. It's too expensive, there's too many taxes, there's too much red tape to get some of these rent-to-build projects built. Interest rates are obviously adding to the cost to build as well. So it's a confluence of issues. But let's not forget, this current government is bringing in the highest level of migration for many, many years, adding to the problem, adding to rental inflation, adding to housing shortfalls.
The migration is certainly adding to the problem, no doubt about that. Anthony Landau is with us, sharing some of his thoughts as to how do we get out of the problem. We'll come back and talk more about it in just a moment.
Decode the property market with insider knowledge and insights to better navigate your real estate journey on The Real Estate Podcast.
Well, you might have seen this yesterday. A prominent Vietnamese real estate mogul has been handed a death sentence for orchestrating the country's largest ever financial fraud, embezzling $19 billion, which accounts for nearly 3% of Vietnam's GDP. The total damage caused by her fraudulent activities tallies up to a staggering $41 billion. She was convicted of embezzlement, bribery, and violations of banking regulations, and the court's severe judgment reflects the gravity of the case, deeming the recovery of embezzled funds unlikely. The 67-year-old began her journey in cosmetics trading before establishing a real estate company in 1992, which then grew into one of Vietnam's wealthiest real estate companies. You know, sometimes no matter how much someone has, greed just gets the better of them.
Every week, real estate transactions take place as the market shifts month by month. And every day, we keep you better informed and updated on The Real Estate Podcast.
And it is a real estate weekend, a Saturday morning. We are talking about building our way out of this problem. And Anthony, people everywhere, they're scratching their heads and saying, how do we get out of this nightmare scenario? What is the longer term impact, do you think, as well as the lag effect going to be?
Yeah, look, in terms of answering both those questions, I'll start with some of the initiatives. Look, there's got to be some coordination between local council, state government and federal government in and amongst zoning issues, in and amongst red tape, taxes. I mean, the Albanese government's released some draft legislation trying to encourage investment in construction, similar to some overseas legislation for some of these build-to-rent schemes by providing some tax incentives and some lower tax thresholds and also encouraging lower rent once it's rolled out. The New South Wales government's talking about higher taxes for foreign investment. So there's these areas looked at in isolation that are obviously going to be part of some sort of solution. We've got to obviously look at the migration numbers, which keep holding up demand, putting pressure on supply. So it's going to be a number of factors, but fundamentally, there's no silver bullet here on any of these fronts. And to answer the second part of the question, in terms of the lag effect, some economists are saying we need to be building 300,000 new dwellings, that's apartment and houses, per annum for the situation to get better before it gets worse, to catch up. The federal government said it wants to build 1.2 million houses over the next 5 years, which is 240,000 a year, an ambitious target that, to be frank, is set to fail. In 23, we commenced 163,836 dwellings, the lowest since 2012. Looks like we'll complete about 175,000 this year. Dwelling approvals are currently at 10-year lows. This situation, we're actually creating a bigger supply shortfall at the moment because we're not keeping up with current demand on the system, and we're falling behind what we need to be building, which is about 300,000 per annum. So this is going to be going on for a number of years. And while we keep bringing all these migrants in, no disrespect, obviously we need some skilled labour, we need the right sort of people coming to Australia to help the economy, but we're bringing them in record numbers and there's nowhere to house them. There are some social problems that we're looking down the barrel of with homelessness, people not being able to afford rent, not having a house to live in. There's no coordinated approach to this. There's no coordinated approach around migration numbers, supply, demand, and local government at the moment.
Yeah, and on any given day, you know, people can hear, they can read, they can listen to a lot of different mixed messages from all corners of Australia in terms of ideas to the solution. So let me ask you, what is currently being done, in your opinion, about what the country faces with the problem? And on top of what is being done, is there anything else that can be added into this dire straits of a mixed set of solutions, potentially?
Yeah, well, what's being done is fairly disparate. The New South Wales government's talking about taxing foreign investors more, people who don't even live here, than locals. Now, that's a good idea at base because it makes the cost for a foreign investor higher. The Albanese government's looking at encouraging investment in construction in the build-to-rent sector. Again, that's where we need to be focusing this build-to-rent sector with units. The state government in Victoria is trying to fast-track a number of those projects. So there's got to be a coordinated approach between local government, state government and federal government around zoning so these projects can go ahead, minimising some of the taxes and the red tape associated with these projects, and then giving them the incentives like the government's talking about in terms of getting these projects built. But at the moment, what we're seeing is people don't want these high-rise units built in their backyard. And that's understandable. People live in a certain area for those reasons. There's a lot of people pushing back on the sheer volume of migrants coming into the country that's placing pressure on the system. So there is no silver bullet. I think fundamentally there's been overseas success with projects like Build to Rent. You're getting large institutions, even superannuation funds or property trusts to invest in these projects, and you're removing barriers and red tape to enable these projects to be built in a timely manner.
Yeah, well, that is Anthony, and you can hear there's a bit of frustration there, Anthony, coming through in your voice, and I think that the surfboard has got to be calling you and take a chill out, go out for a surf this morning after the coffee.
Yeah, well, it's got me a bit of hot under the collar, so I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, well, nothing worse than being a little bit hot under the collar, especially for the start of our weekend. So you've got that off your chest. That is the good news. Now you can sort of relax, enjoy your weekend, and look forward to chatting soon.
Thanks, Craig. Have a great weekend as well, and we'll be back. Looking forward to being back next time.
Gain insights with exclusive conversations from real estate professionals about buying, selling and investing across Australia.
So I thought it would be good to actually introduce Robert in to discuss the legalities of fractional ownership, what indeed fractional ownership is, to highlight any questions that the listeners might have.
Yeah, great, great. Well, you've set that up really well. So a very good morning to you, Robert. Great to have you on.
Good morning, Craig, and thank you very much for that introduction, Mary. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell the listeners, Robert, all about what fractional ownership is about.
Yeah, of course. So fractional ownership breaks down that co-ownership even further. So rather than you and some friends purchasing a property, you don't even need to know the other people. You can come in and you can take 10%, 5% of a property, and other people that are interested in that property take the remainder, all managed in a fully legal way via a regulated company. It means you can invest in real estate without having to have the full amount.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia. The Real Estate Podcast.